All right, welcome into the special playoff edition of WARP in Cincinnati. I'm Paul Andrew Jr. Happy to welcome back C. Trent Rosecrans. We're of The Athletic. What's going on, Trent?
Oh, another day in paradise. I am back.
That's You are nice. Back. Missed you, buddy. But a little bit happened. Wow.
Yeah. Well, can I just thank you and Mo and Jay and Justin and the whole and Dave and the whole crew. As you guys, I don't know what you guys said last week, but I was out some personal stuff. I was down with my family. My father was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. So that kind of jumped out at us, not expecting that news last week. So I was dealing with that, and I do appreciate all the you know, you guys taking a step in and helping out. And
yeah, of course,
it was a weird week. But hey, if you're a Reds fan, it was a pretty good week. And it's funny, my dad is sitting there. He actually did get discharged from the hospital. He's out of the ICU and everything, and he's just like, you know, I'm really happy for Tucker Barnhart. Like, all right,
fair.
You know, okay, me too. Good dude.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thoughts and prayers to you and your whole family, and you know, and everything you're going through. From a Reds week, man. I mean, you can't draw it up. I sort of wrote this after they clinched on, which Friday night Zoom was great, and we won't spend too much time focusing on the past with the playoffs right ahead of us. But we do need to recap how you got here, because it has a massive implication on the expectations for the Reds going into this. You know, as Joey Votto, as he's one to do, tends to put it just right, and he sat down at the Zoom on Friday night as all the chaos had been happening, and you know, every player they wheeled out and after the clinch was better than the last on these Zooms. But Joey Votto kind of sits down, he claps his hand and kind of gives a smile, and he's just happy. And somebody asked him about, you know, the last playoff teams, because he's the only one remaining from those.
And what, yeah, do we want to play that?
I guess, yeah, let's play it. It's great.
And I don't know, should we bleep or not bleep? To bleep or not to bleep?
Not to bleep. It's the internet. And before I bring you Votto, we will be an effing nightmare all week for you if you want to listen, because we're going to be here on WARP with some post-game pods after every single game. So make sure you keep checking back to the site right after each one. Okay, enough of that. Joey Votto.
We're good and we're better. I like this team much more than I like those teams. And I really like those teams. But I think we're a fucking nightmare. And I think everybody knows that. I can't wait.
Joey just knows how to say it right sometimes. And I got to tell you, the moment I heard it, I actually had to go back and refreeze the face on all the reporters. I had the full thing up on the Zoom. I went back into the Reds archive, and I went back to that moment and just watched the face on every reporter when it happened, and watching him write their story for them. And that smile you get when someone gives you the money quote, it's kind of cool. And the one thing about Zoom is you can actually rewatch that in real time. Everyone react to the best quote you've heard all, you know, in weeks coming over the airwaves.
Yeah, and the great thing is then, you know, Joey knows it too. He's like, yeah, all right, I'm going to help everybody out here. I would love that. That's kind of like the in the episode of The Simpsons. Oh, shoot, what's it called? I Love Lisa is the episode name. And where they do the thing with Ralph Wiggum's heartbreaking, and you see, and Bart has the VCR, and he's like, and pause. That's the moment where you can see his heart break. But like, it's the opposite feeling. It's like, that's the point where you see everybody going, there you go. That's the headline. That's it. And like special, like a special feeling for Paul Daner Jr. at The Athletic, because he's like, I can use the real quote, no parentheses, nothing like that. I get to treat people like adults and let them know that what was really said.
Yeah, well, the only question was, can we use it in a headline at 1 a.m? And we pulled it out of the headline, but left it in the story. But it, you know, because the rules on that are, you use it if it makes a point, if it's important. And I gotta say, that was a well-placed F, because I think it hammered home the point of, that's the way that they really feel. They are a effing nightmare right now. The way they're playing, the way everything has come together, and it's not just that they're playing well, it's everything that they went through created this toughness and grit and sense of, there is no adversity we're not really afraid of. You always believe in yourself no matter what, which is critical in the playoffs. Teams that don't have it, you see good teams lose because they don't have that all the time. They've been playing big games that have felt like playoff games for weeks now, and they're going to enter with that mode. All of that makes them an effing nightmare, and they know. And he's right. Everybody knows it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who would want to. I mean, like, I think there's several teams who are like, oh, whew, dodged a bullet there. You know, you just look at it. Even the Cubs, who've played this team a bit, know what they have and know that they can roll. And they, you know, they were probably the ones – that was probably the one who I think the Reds didn't want to play. I don't know. I kind of those – of the four top seeds – the Braves are the team I think I would want to play the most. What about you?
Mo made a good point about this last week, and it's been on my mind since he made it. And that was, if you knew at some point you would have to go through the Dodgers, wouldn't you want to do it in a three-game series where there's a little more luck involved? If you feel if it's about reaching the World Series, something where you want to see the Dodgers in a short series where it's just you and your starters can carry you. And if Trevor Bauer goes out and wins you game one, the amount of pressure that would be on that Dodgers team that has not made it to where they want to, you know, not reach the mountaintop yet, would be astronomical. He made that point that you'd want to see them in a three-game series. So outside of that, though, I'm with you.
Yeah, no. Good call by Mo.
Yeah. But here's the thing about the Braves. I don't know. They're the makeup of their team, and if you want to know a little bit about where the Braves are, who the Braves are, Dave O'Brien, and our Atlanta colleague, has the absolute opus rounding up the Braves, what they've done, who they are at this point. Just go over to the site now, over to the Atlanta site. Dave O'Brien has that story up that he wrote yesterday. But the point being, they can rake. I mean, that's where you start. They can rake. They have Freddie Freeman, Ozuna's. I mean, they've got a ton of guys that can absolutely rake. Their starting pitching is probably the question with them. They have a bullpen that they're basically relying on at this point, that they're just bullpen is deep. And, you know, in the playoffs, I think they feel like they can roll that way. Mm-hmm. That said, would you rather face a team that they're, you know, you're going to go strength on strength, or would you rather face a team that maybe is a little more similar to you? I think if you're the Reds, you'd probably rather just go strength on strength.
Yeah. I think you just kind of feel like, hey, I mean, right now the Reds feel like, hey, we're an effing nightmare. You know, I don't care who we play. They don't want to play us. And justified by what they went through. You know, the White Sox and the Twins and the Cardinals. I mean, those are the – and even the Brewers. I mean, those are all – they've won five series in a row. And we're talking about this first round is a series. It's a three-game series.
Yeah.
They've won five of these in a row, four of those against playoff teams.
Yeah. I mean, it's a roll, and they're able to, you know, run out on full rest. They're three starters who are pitching. You know, it's not just that they've had good years. It's that they're pitching well. They're pitching lights out right now. I mean, Trevor Bauer has somehow taken it to another level in his what will certainly be a Cy Young award for him.
Ooh, I wouldn't go that far.
No, we're not going there.
I think he is deserving of a Cy Young. I'm not. I think there are several guys who are deserving So I'm not going to give it to him yet. I think he's probably the front runner with the season in completed. Ballots are due tomorrow by the first pitch, so by noon. I think he's got a good chance, but I also think there's a possibility that he doesn't, just because it is pretty close.
Will tell you it's not close.
And you know, that's one of the things that is, you know, what makes him who he is. I think he is the favorite, but I wouldn't say it's in the bag.
Yeah, I mean, but he's been great, and he, you know, in what felt like the biggest game, certainly the biggest game at Great American Ballpark in years, and mm-hmm. the biggest game of this season last Wednesday against the Brewers, who remarkably both all, you know, four Central teams get in, and ended up getting in, but still, it felt at that point like it could be a loser out. He was incredible. I mean, he was just relentless. He was great. Yep. He was lights out, and he's been that in every spot. And he looked like a guy that absolutely loves the big stage, loves the moment, relishes the opportunity to take the ball and yell at you if you try to take it from him, and for good reason. And I think that you're right. I mean, he's made for the postseason game one and going out there and trying to stick it to a great lineup. I mean, there's nobody you would want. And it's been so long, you know, back to Johnny Cueto. I don't know how much we saw Cueto show that in the postseason. I mean, he obviously has had lots of moments then and since. But, you know, who has that attitude? To him. And that's big. That's gonna be a big deal. Because, like we said with the Dodgers thing, the same thing goes for the Braves. You know, the pressure that happens if Trevor Bauer sticks it to you in game one, which is not some out of the realm of possibilities thing, considering who he's been. The pressure that mounts in a three-game series when they're facing Luis Castillo is huge.
Yeah, no, it's pretty impressive. That's what you want. You know, that's why they're a nightmare.
Castillo in his last five starts, 2.20, and that's after giving up four on Saturday. ERA. I mean, he's been fantastic refinding this slider, right? I mean, it seems like that's kind of been the big deal.
Yeah, and you just, that's a guy you never want to face. It's, even if he's not locating, even if he's not at his best, you just don't want to see him. You don't want to see him as a pitcher or as a hitter. So, I mean, it's, yeah. And then you go Sonny Gray.
Yeah. Who is since his two starts coming back, you know, he said he feels really good and he's looked pretty good.
He looked really good yesterday. You know, a good offense. They haven't had the full season like they did a year ago, but the Twins, I mean, they're still the Bomba squad. They still have hitters up and down that lineup. So, yeah, I mean, again, this team has a confidence, and it's an earned confidence, which is crazy. Considering, I guess the last time you and I talked on this was a little bit different.
That was when it was, we at some point you got to beat the Pirates was the last conversation we had. Like, that was where they were at. They were just trying to sweep the Pirates. Like, that they were six games behind 500, basically. They had just beaten the Cardinals on that Sunday. But these 2 weeks have changed everything. These 2 weeks have changed everything for them because of the way that they've played. They're 11-3 and beating good teams. And you know, the pitching, the hitting has come around. The bullpen, you know, Mike Lorenzen has made a lot of people look bad. And that's people that have said bad things about him and those that have been at the plate, Raisel Iglesias, you know, these guys that were very much maligned and a big part of the struggles early have been a huge part of the turnaround late. You know, they just seem to have found in every aspect of the game, they sort of found what they spent 40 plus games searching for.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
All right, let's take a quick break here to hear from one of our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
What do you make of the Braves as a team in the postseason and through this lens? You have two franchises that haven't exactly been dynamos in the postseason. The Reds, who have not advanced in the postseason since 1995, and the Braves, who have not advanced in the postseason since 2001, despite regular appearances. Yeah. What do you make about that matchup?
It is interesting. You know, I had a text from someone in Atlanta last night, and just like, well, Reds won. And I mean, you want to talk about two fan bases that are just completely, I don't know. It's like two Eeyore fan bases. It's like, who's going to out Eeyore themselves?
Yeah.
And it's almost, what's interesting is almost expectations, you know, like what constitutes a win. Atlanta fans have been on the precipice of championships recently, the soccer team, Atlanta United, have been on the precipice and fallen short. I mean, we could go, you know, UGA was just about to win the national championship and they blow it. The Falcons.
28-3.
Yeah. The Falcons the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, last year, the wild card game, the 10 spot by the Cardinals in the first inning. You know, just so many things. It's funny you, because, and then like the Reds in Cincinnati, the Bengals aren't helping, and you have the whole thing about advancing. And like I said to the person yesterday, I just said, well, the Braves have won a World Series since a Cincinnati Pro team has advanced in the playoffs.
That's correct. That's a fact.
Because it was 95.
It was. I find, you know, and I saw, you know, in Dave O'Brien's piece, he sort of referenced, you know, the Braves talking about that and how they don't really, you know, the history they view is the recent history. And that's, you know, they worry about, you know, the way things have gone the last couple of years. And at a certain point, like nobody on this Reds team or on this Braves team cares about what happened in 2004 or whatever year you're looking back on. I mean, it's about what's happened in recent years. And this team doesn't have any history. They don't know any better except that they have a confidence about them, which is kind of another element to the way that they are playing and the way that they feel going in. They don't, you know, they don't feel any of that weight of the lack of postseason success or inexperience. All they know is we keep playing big games and winning them. And whereas maybe this Braves team does have a memory, does have a little bit of a reflex to it that can go back to the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only person who has played in a playoff game for the Reds on this squad is Joey Votto. Other guys, I mean, Mike Moustakas has won several playoff series. Trevor Bauer has. Kyle Farmer has. You know, you can go through, and there are guys who've won in the World Series or in the playoffs. The only one who really hasn't is Votto. And, you know, I don't put that on him at all. It's just that's where it is. So that's really interesting to me.
Is there any advantage? You know, it's weird because we've seen teams manage games like playoff games because of the short season a little bit more, maybe. And I don't know if you'd agree with that or disagree with that. I mean, maybe I think we've seen much more bullpen prevalence, you know, maybe shorter leashes. We've seen more different types of players and matchups. But the Braves seem built to do that. That's what they want to do. I mean, they have so many good relievers that they're willing to roll in, and they just got Max Fried and Ian Anderson. But you know, they're young. They've kind of had to scrap their whole starting rotation a little bit, but they're just happy to go in with this bullpen. I mean, is that an even playing field? I mean, is there a difference in that, or is it about the same? You know, when you've got, you know, the ability to mix and match in this type of, you know, elimination setup.
Yeah, the one thing that comes into that is the no off days. So if you go to a third game, what does that bullpen look like on the third day?
Yeah.
So that is something that this playoff is a little bit different. You know, it's almost going to depend on the thing that's going to matter is what the Reds offense does. What do they do? And that's going to be the question to me. I think both pitching staffs have ways to counteract the others. As you said, like bullpen for the Braves, starting pitching for the Reds, and really the bullpen for the Reds has been pretty good. Yep. So, you know, it's going to be what the offenses do. And the Braves certainly have a better offense, especially this year. You know, Mike Moustakas, I mean, not Mike, sorry, Freddie Freeman has been phenomenal, maybe the MVP. Yep. I am an MVP voter, and I have not put that together yet. But, you know, I have to look at three Braves and at least in Freeman, Acuna, and Marcelo Zuna. And there's also, who else? Oh, Adam Duvall. Remember Adam Duvall?
Yeah.
Had a great season.
They have, if you look at, you know, guys that have played significant amounts, they have 1, 2, 3, 4 with an OPS plus over 138 and all the way up to Freddie Freeman at 186, Ozuna at 175. I mean, massive numbers. Throw in a couple more. Dansby Swanson, 110. Mm-hmm. Duvall at 113. I mean, they have guys that are just killing the ball everywhere. Almost hardly anybody is below average. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just a tough lineup to go through, and that's who they're going to be. That said, you know, I wouldn't say that they have, you know, struggled on their way into the playoffs at all, but you know, they're certainly not as hot as the Reds. You know, they've kind of kept going along at about the same pace all year, whereas the Reds are sort of on this hot streak. So we'll see, you know, outside, to me, it's coin flip time. Yeah. You know, I think do you have an X factor player? Like if you were going to look back, if the Reds win, who's their wild card series MVP?
That's a great question. I mean, I almost think the starters cancel themselves out, cancel each other out, unless you just have someone go out game three, throw a shutout or something. But I wouldn't even expect that because you'd probably go to your pen. Moustakas?
I would think it has to be a hitter. I mean, to me, it's got to be they need somebody. The one thing that they'll need to match up, and they've had a lot of this during this run, but they are gonna need somebody to really to run into some bombs. Like that's who they've kind of embraced that a little bit. Like, look, let's stop trying to be something we're not. Let's just try to have great starting pitching and hit homers. Like, and it seems to work.
Yeah, you know, strike guys out and hit dingers. That's this team.
It is. I think that's why you go. I mean, you're right. You go to Moustakas. You know, we know what Nick Castellanos can do when he catches a heater.
It's so interesting. I kind of wrote about that yesterday, just how like you've had all these streaks and nobody really at the same time. There hasn't been too much overlap in these hot streaks, which has been super interesting to me. you know?
And yeah. And you know, and Votto's kind of gone to the Votto still bangs mentality. And he's been hit. I mean, they've all kind of just embraced that. And I think it's going to be a matter of making that, of being able to hit a few out. I mean, I think,
yeah.
And if somebody can catch that hot streak, I think that's the X factor to me. I don't see a scenario, and maybe you disagree with me. I just don't see a scenario where the starting pitching that's been so good, and even I'd argue the bullpen that has been so good of late, just comes out of nowhere and lays an egg in one or two games. I don't see that. The one thing
just because you can always see it. Yeah. I'm never surprised. It's possible. I mean, we've seen a couple stinkers. You know, Sonny had a stinker and who had been so consistent over his time, and maybe that was injury. It seemed to be, and you know, Castillo can look so great and then just give up stuff. And then Bauer, you know, last year wasn't what he is now. I mean, that is also injury. So, I'm never going to be surprised by that, yeah. But you're going to get, I would be surprised if you didn't get representative performances out two out of the three.
Yeah.
Maybe that's kind of what you're saying. And I'm kind of hedging it a little bit.
No. Yeah. And I would agree. I don't see something that, you know, starting pitching falling apart being the reason that they lose. I think the reason they lose will be because just nobody runs into one or two when they need it. And to me, that's the most likely scenario. So if we're talking about what you need, what you most would want to see, you want to see just somebody get hot, score some runs early. It doesn't need to be a 10 spot in the first inning, but just something to get that something to get that offensive confidence going immediately. Early in game one type thing, you know, Eric Davis World Series tone setter type stuff that can really just kind of continue to get the offense rolling, because that's the one area where, you know, you can see streaks go one way or the other more so.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you're right on. And we've seen so many different guys capable of that this year. I mean, remember at the beginning of the season, like, it was a surprise when Castellanos didn't hit it out or didn't just like crush it. And then there was that bit where Jesse Winker looked like the best hitter on the planet. You know, Joey Votto certainly had his times, and he did this year for a little while. Mike Moustakas has done that. You know, it's funny about Shogo Akiyama. He's the one guy who hasn't hit a home run, but over the last month, he's been so good. He's been really good. He's been exactly what they wanted. You know, and with Akiyama, they've said, hey, don't worry about hitting home runs. Everybody else is going to hit a home run. Be the guy on first base or second base when they have
a home run.
Yeah. You know, be the guy who scores on the home runs, not the guy who scores home runs. And you know, since the second of September, he's been getting on pretty much half the time. A .474 on base percentage in those 22 games. So and he's, you know, he saw his walk rate double. He's been getting hits. He does those things where, you know, I think sometimes players get great American in their head for hitters. And they think, oh, hey, man, if I just hit it hard, it's going out. I'm gonna hit it hard and let it go out. And I'm going to hit some bombs. And Akiyama just doesn't. He's content, even though he hit some home runs in Japan, he's content with being like, nah, I'm good. Yeah. I'm just going to flick it out here. And you always see it with Akiyama. It looks like when he's going well, it always looks like he's just serving it into left center.
Yeah.
Poking it out there. And then he's on base. And then, you know, he doesn't really have to run because he can just trot around the bases when somebody hits their dinger.
Yeah. We haven't mentioned Eugenio Suarez's name. We should have. That is a mistake on our part, because, I mean, he's kind of, after that, you know, really rough start, and he hasn't certainly been, you know, living totally up to his form, but after that really rough start, I mean, he has you know, he's been the key to finding himself and relighting up this offense again. As he, you know, he's back to leading the team in home runs.
Just hitting dingers, RBIs. Dude.
Just
hitting dingers.
That's it. You know, and
I mean, he has 40 hits and 15 of them are homers.
Yeah. Hit it hard, you know?
I mean, hit dingers, dude.
It's a good rate. It's a good rate.
Hit so bombs.
So the Reds go. They found a way to make it in, and they did it in a way that was the point of my column on Friday was that no one would have thought a few weeks ago that the Reds were totally on the best case scenario path. But really, if you were to take Dick Williams and David Bell and sit them down in a room before this team threw their second opening day, the real opening day, and said, "Hey, I'm going to put you in the playoffs. You're going to be in. You'll have to go on the road, but you're going to be in, and you are going to have created the toughness and true belief in this team, and your starting pitching will come together, like." You'll have momentum. They would say, yes, that's the ideal scenario. That's what we want. That's what you need. You need the team to come together and turn it all into that like intangible belief that's so important and that toughness that you need on top, because they felt like they had the talent. It was just a matter of putting all the intangible stuff together and letting it mesh. If you'd have told them that on opening day, they would have said, best case scenario, 1A, that's what I want. No one would have thought they were on the path to 1A, but the way that it went down ended up being the path to 1A, because all that went wrong kind of created this thing in this team that turned them into an effing nightmare. and that kind of sums it up.
It's so weird because, like, I was just thinking about this. It's like before the season, I think I just said, I don't know. Do we have our... Did we predict things and predict records and all that? And I think I was around 31 wins. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think I was 31, 32, maybe around there. And I was thought this team would be pretty good. And then there are times where they're just so bad. And then they end up at 31. They finish with that winning record. And I believe I said, you finish 500. You feel pretty good about your playoff spot. You know, chances, and it ended up like that. And for such a weird season with so much unknown, the way it all worked out, I think we kind of were our expectations were met, but they weren't anywhere near met.
Yeah, not in the way I mean, anybody anticipated.
Yeah, it. You just didn't see it going this way, even if the end result was what you expected.
Yeah, no, it was. It was not how you would have predicted, but at the end of the day, here they are. They are in the playoffs. And, you know, boy, what an important 2 weeks this was for this organization, who bet so much on getting in and making a run this year and creating a moment for their fans and belief with their fans that they're moving the right direction. And if they wouldn't have put this together, there's a lot of really tough conversations that would be happening right now. Mm-hmm. About a lot of people and a lot of directions and a lot of whatever it would be. But instead, you know, this couple of weeks created a belief that they have been doing things the right way, and the moves that they made were worth it. Or at least they hope that they will play out to be that way in the playoffs. But at the very least, it validated, I think, a lot of decisions that were made over the last year and a half.
I mean, the Trevor Bauer trade.
Yep.
And I think even maybe the whole, I think it's going to, whether it's worth it or not, is almost still to be determined.
Yeah.
With him, because if you make a run in the playoffs, that's what he was made for. That's why you got him. And it'll be weird to say, even if you get the franchise's first Cy Young winner, I think you still almost long term have to say, did you advance in the playoffs, and where did this get you? Because at this point, I don't know that it was enough just to get to the playoffs. I think you have to do a little bit more.
Yeah. No, there is no doubt, but you certainly feel, if you're the Reds, that they're in as good a position as anybody to make a real run. And at this day, at this time, leading up to Wednesday at noon, that's all you can ask for right now, especially considering where they were. So they will head forward into the postseason. 3-game series against the Braves in Cobb County. Is that Cobb County?
It is Cobb County. It's still Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta's kind of weird that it goes through so many counties, but it is it is most definitely Cobb County. Yes,
up in the northern suburbs.
Yeah, I mean, like, Tyler Stevenson's not his parents don't live too far from there. I mean, they live in Cobb County. He grew up in Cobb County. So did Taylor Trammell, for that matter. You know, Kyle Farmer said, he's like, yeah, my house is like 5 minutes from our hotel.
Yeah. Reds already went down there right after the game on Sunday. I guess they were probably anticipating doing that regardless. Just get there.
And maybe I don't think if they would have played on the West Coast, I think they probably would have stayed the night in Minnesota and then gone the next day. But staying kind of in the central or eastern time zones, they were going to go last night just to get out there and find a way and kind of get acclimated.
Yeah. And you know what? Quick kudos to the fact that we're talking about playing postseason games to everybody in MLB. There was a lot of times we didn't know they would make it here. And I think they kind of found a rhythm a little bit with, you know, not only dealing with outbreaks that happen with teams, but, you know, preventing them and, you know, things like what happened with the Reds, where it not turning into, you know, everybody really that was involved, I think, kudos to them for getting to this point. It hasn't been perfect. It hasn't been ideal. This postseason won't be perfect. This postseason won't be ideal. But it will be fun and it will happen, it looks like. So that is sort of more than half the battle. So kudos to everybody in MLB that has been able to pull this off, because it certainly was off to a rough start and had a lot of people wondering whether we'd make it here. I'll wrap us up. We'll be back. You know, we'll come back after everything goes down with this Braves series and recap everything that's happened. Reminder, check out all the coverage from us, from everything from the Cincinnati point of view, of course, insider stuff from the Atlanta point of view. I highly recommend, if you want to feel like you have a real view of who the Reds are playing, go read that story from Dave O'Brien. It is $1 per month subscription right now to The Athletic. Can't beat it. Best deal ever. Celebrating our 1 million subscribers with $1 per month. That gets you everything, everybody, not just here, not just Atlanta, but over 400 writers across every sport you can imagine in the United States, the UK. You can read all about top of the table Everton, who have scored 9 points in 3 matches and appear to be destined to win the Premier League. Sorry, I just, every time I talk about it, I get excited.
Can we talk about Dave Nenemitz's Manchester City too?
I'd love to. I'd love to talk about them. Look, I'm just happy for a minute. Everton is relevant.
Oh, no, them losing yesterday is kind of what going on.
No, absolutely. Man City need to talk about all of their awfulness as much as possible.
Yeah. I mean, like, awfulness in every single way.
Yeah. It's all you can hope for.
It really is.
So, yeah, you get all of that $1 a month. Highly recommend it. Just go to theathletic.com. /WARP, theathletic.com/WARP. Click on the link there, and you can get your $1 sub. So highly recommend that.
Also, I'll be joining Dave O'Brien tomorrow on Cam?
755 is real.
Yes. I might just drop in nice to be here on 762 is real.
I like that. I like it. So go head on over to that podcast and listen to Trent and the Atlanta folks talk a little bit about the series there. So we have all of that coming your way. Hopefully you enjoy it and sit back. You know what? Enjoy watching postseason baseball, everybody, because you get to watch it. And your Reds, if you're listening to this, you're probably a Reds fan. Your Reds are in it. So congratulations. It's much more fun than not watching it. I can tell you that much.
Although I do have to admit, it means more work for me.
It does. It does. Joey kind of congratulated all the writers for him giving them more work. I don't think he understands how we view this thing.
No. I mean, I remember having this discussion with Bob Castellini and when they signed Nick Castellanos, and like it blew his mind. He's like, "Well, you want to go to the playoffs?" I'm like, "No, man. Dude, that's more work for me. I don't get paid extra."
No, I get paid the same whether I have to work extra or not.
Right. Like, no, do you want to do more work for the same pay or less work? But it is fun. I mean, it's been fun to – I did miss this week. I had other stuff going on, so I didn't see every pitch. I wasn't on every Zoom. I wasn't at the ballpark. So it was a little bit different, but – it's cool. It's cool. I think it is more fun when they're winning, and even for us, even if it means a little bit more work.
Yep, there is no doubt. It's so funny. We become so accustomed around here to, well, at least in the last half decade, whether for me the Bengals or and then coming over and doing Red stuff and covering the Reds regularly. To just writing about losses and writing about, just trying to explain away what's wrong and why there should or shouldn't be hope and blame and crap like that. I mean, it is taxing. It was quite refreshing to write off Wednesday and Friday last week just to be doing. It was like very invigorating to do something different and have this like pure joy and happiness of celebrating an accomplishment. I was very unfamiliar. I sort of had to kind of figure out what that looks like again because I had not seen that in this town in a while.
No Daner Gamers?
No, it was not. I mean, it was half written before it ended, and it ended the way you thought it would. So,
wow.
I know, very rare for me. New leaf. 2020 still bad, but wasn't bad on that night. So. I'll take that. All right, we'll wrap it up. We will talk to you once the Brave series wraps, so look forward to that. And everybody enjoy the playoffs, so have a good one. We'll talk to you next time on WARP in Cincinnati. Ooh.